Radio Gorgeous, pirate radio for Vogue readers.
Gorgeous Gossip, Donna Freed here on Radio Gorgeous with Jenna Ellis.
Welcome. Hi, Donna.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. We're having a dirty little gossip today.
Aren't we just? What a laugh.
Yeah, exactly. you have written Our Little Secret.
It is Our Little Secret. Yes,
yes.
I have.
It is an erotic thriller, and it is both erotic and thrilling.
Thank you. That was my intention.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Okay. Tell us a little bit about you and what you what drew you to write erotic fiction.
Well, I've always been a massive reader, and I've always really liked story. I'm a kind of great believer in kind of getting really involved in a story. I really like that. And it was something I felt compelled to write as a woman. I'm in my mid-40s. I feel womanly in a way that I haven't felt, that I didn't feel in my 20s. And I felt that empowerment gave me the empowerment to write and to do something creative along these lines. And I started off thinking, can I do it? Can I do it? And I just wanted to write a real page-turning story, because obviously the whole erotic fiction thing has blown apart since we had 50 Shades, which really opened the door for it to be mainstream and okay for women to read books like this. But it's not my cup of tea. And it wasn't, it didn't appeal to my sexuality. It didn't sort of, I was curious, but I was just like, well, hang on, that's not what goes on. That's not what I find fun to read. So that's where I started.
Well, I want to congratulate you because as opposed to 50 Shades of, well, I like the third one because it's 50 Shades Freed. I haven't read it, but I assume it's all about me. But I refused to read the 50 Shades books. Because like the Celestine Prophecy before it and the Bridges of Madison County, everyone says, oh my God, it's so great. I've been suckered into reading these books and they're horrible. And then I'm really pissed off I wasted my time. However, I did read Sylvia Day's books. She was here on Radio Gorgeous, as well as Jodi Allen Malpas. Sylvia Day's books are very similar to 50 Shades and they're supposed to be the better written ones. Still not great writing. And it's frustrating.
Because don't you have to have the suspension of disbelief?
Yeah.
In order to make the whole thing hang together and work, you have to have the sense of disbelief. And that's what sort of really frustrated me when I read 50 Shades, because, you know, the character kept saying, holy crap! And I was like, really? Who says that? I've never said that. And you can get a sense of excitement across or bewilderment or kind of somebody being out of their depth so much better than just them saying expletives, surely. And I think almost because it's erotic fiction, it has to be better written, you know, and it has to be pared down and it has to be communicative in a way that kind of you're totally involved in the story. And if you're tripped up by the writing, then it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, for me, it was very much about starting with the story. I wanted to tell a really exciting story where you didn't know what was going to happen. And it's quite a simple story. It's, you know, it's about a girl who's from Manchester. She's got a fairly boring life. She has loads of sex with her boyfriend, who's really good looking and a bit aloof. But she's a bit like, oh, God, there must be more. And her mum's died. And she works in this horrible funplex place where there's trillions of screaming kids. And we've all been to those places. They're hideous.
Horrible.
And she's just like, oh, I want something to happen. And then she sees this advert in The Lady for a nanny in upstate New York for a very rich and exclusive couple. You have to send a photo, references, and there's going to be this posh interview. Anyway, she lands up going to the Shard to this interview. She's totally out of her depth and she gets the job. And suddenly she's flying first class to New York. She's never been out of Manchester. She's going first class to New York to this couple, and she can't really find out very much about them. All we know is that Edward and Marnie Parker are kind of very high up in New York society. He's an art curator. She was a model. She's now got a business. It's all very, but everything about them has been sort of shut down from the internet, apart from a tiny little thing that they put their chef had to was placed under a gagging order. Anyway, she's very excited, and of course she arrives, and then the story starts to unfold because these people are extraordinary, and she's drawn into their world, and she has to keep their secrets, and it's just very exciting because you don't know what's going to happen. Of course, there's a big twist at the end, which was really fun.
Big twist at the end. That was very fun.
Yeah.
Excellent. That is a perfect summation. Super sexy. And also, I mean, it was really fun. It's like, you know, super hot, really fun, fantastic read. Can't recommend it enough.
Oh,
because it was also really readable.
Yeah. And I wanted it to be that kind of book. It's got a gorgeous cover on it. It's got loads of sort of ribbons on the front, like Agile Proctor ribbons on the front saying, "Our little secret, can't you promise not to tell?" And it's a really fun cover. And I hope it's one that people aren't embarrassed reading on the tube or reading on the beach.
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com.
And I wanted to make really good female characters in it. In Marnie Parker, I wanted to make this woman, we all want to be her. She is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've made her just the kind of amazing heroine that we would all like to be. So it's quite, and she sort of scoops up our Sophie under her wing. Anyway, so it's quite really fun, but it's just that thing of getting a cliffhanger in.
Yeah.
Which obviously all these, but you know, we had, you know, with 50 Shades, to be fair, there is quite a lot of pace in it. But you have to pace with story. You have to...
Yes, like, with there's emotional, no story.
And emotional stakes.
Yes.
It's got to have real emotional guts, you know?
Well, because I sort of likened it to, you know, porn. In terms of, like, porn where there's no rhyme or reason why somebody walks into a room and takes the clothes off and starts having some... You know, like, it's sort of... Some of these books are sort of like that.
Yeah.
Sex scene getting to next sex scene getting to next sex scene.
But I don't think that's how sexuality works.
No.
Certainly not my sexuality. And I think, you know, for women to achieve orgasm, for example, it has to be in the head. And you can't just be, you know, you can't... I think for men, you can just turn on porn, watch it for 30 seconds
Bing.
And then... But, you know... If I turn on porn, watch for 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, dear.
Body parts.
She shouldn't have had that tattoo.
Exactly.
I mean, what was she thinking?
I need a bit more story. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, so you have to get into it. You know, you have to get into it slowly, and you have to care about the characters.
Exactly.
And you have to empathise. You have to feel, my God, this story could really happen. So that was sort of my starting point. And I'm very proud of it. What I really want is I'm writing it as a film script. So I've got quite a bit of film kind of people sniffing around about that, which is very, very exciting because I think it would make a great movie.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah, wouldn't it? So we'll
because
see.
It ends, well, it also ends on at a point where one could continue.
Maybe that was deliberate, Donna.
Possibly. I'm thinking very possibly. But the other thing is that nothing that goes on in the book is sort of problematic or, you know, I mean, because there's recently with E.L. James, it was like, oh, you know what I mean? No doesn't mean no. And we're teaching girls.
And I don't think that's right. And I think that kind of... I haven't read the last one. One of my friends who is quite open-minded about the thing, she said, and it's just a license. It's a blueprint in how you abduct a woman and force her against her will to do it. And that's just a really wrong message.
Yes.
And I think that as women, and we're more empowered sexually now than we've ever been, I think we should celebrate our sexuality. And I think it's great that we say, well, hang on, we want some fantasy, thank you very much. And we want some kind of titillation along the way. Brilliant. But it has to be with women in control and with women making the choices. And I was very careful in the book to make it that Sophie, although she goes on this massive journey, the choices are hers.
Exactly.
And she is manipulated to a certain extent because everybody in a sort of sexual relationship is. But she also does some of the manipulating herself. And I was hoping to keep that balance so that she... At no point does the reader feel that she's been abused or you get to the end. I wanted you to get to the end of the story and go, oh, that was a great story. Not, oh, I felt a bit sorry for her.
Yeah.
Because she's empowered and she's learned an enormous amount from the experiences that she has.
An enormous amount about herself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that like Sylvia Day touched on, which I think is very important that she brought into hers, which is sort of a parallel, not a parallel, but a shade on that. You know, like her characters had both been sexually abused. Mm-hmm. And to bring into the, you know, hello, that does have a real effect on your sexuality for the rest of your life. So bringing that into the conversation, thought was good, but it's sort of, I don't know, it wasn't a full enough story. But so thank you for bringing another...
No. Well, I wanted to have somebody with normal sexuality. And when we see her, she's a flirt. You know, we meet her and she's in a club and her boyfriend won't dance. And it's a big club night and they've been planning it with her mates. And they've got this, they're in this really funky club and this tango beat music comes on. And she's always been a dancer. She's always wanted to dance. And she kind of has a go at dancing with her friends and they didn't want to dance. And anyway, she hooks eyes with a stranger across from this Spanish-looking guy and he's really gorgeous. And he sort of juts out his chin and she kind of hams it up. She's foot scraping away towards him. And then he gets her in a clinch and they do this very passionate tango. And she gets totally caught up in it. And then her boyfriend is like, oh, enough, stop. What's going on? There's going to be a fight. And but we can see that she's really drawn to that sort of sexual... Mm-hmm. Dangerous. She's that sort of like a little glimpse into how she operates. But she's a very switched on girl.
Yeah.
You know, she's ambitious. She wants to see the world. She's got great relationships with her family and her friends and with her boyfriend to a certain extent. She just wants more. And she's hungry for experience. And that's a very different kettle of fish from having somebody who's abused or not really clear about their sexuality. Yeah. She's very clear about her sexuality and the fact that she's quite highly sexed. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
She's up for it.
Yeah, she's up for it.
And to what extent, of course, we've got to end on this, to what extent are the fantasies in Our Little Secret your fantasies? As a writer, you have to. It's got to be hot for you to make it hot for me.
Oh, of course. And you've got to really care about the character. And I wanted to write this really ballsy girl. I mean, you know, I did quite a lot of travelling in my life, and I did quite a lot of travelling when I was younger, and I went to the States when I was young, and I went to be a nanny, actually, which kind of had a real kind of impact on this in that I could imagine what it was like to be with this sort of family and a bit out of your depth and not mm-hmm. knowing how to be. And it was quite interesting because I wanted to write kind of a fantasy woman in Marnie Parker and Edward Parker because he is so gorgeous. You know, mm-hmm. and he walked onto the set, and I'm like, okay, who am I going to cast in my mind as him? And so I had like a mix, you kind of mix up people. I had a bit of Robert Downey Jr., I had a bit of him, he's very hot. So yes, of course, you have to have your own fantasy come out in it. But you then also, it is then about the characters that you've created, not about imposing your fantasies on top of them. It's about they have mm-hmm. to follow their own journey. So yes, I mean, but what a laugh. It was great fun to write. I really loved writing it.
Fantastic. Jenna Ellis, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Radio Gorgeous.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com and beautifully edited by Ella Gray Thomas, 2015.